Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Insha'Allah ta'ala, just want to do a portion of translation of tafsir. This tafsir is going to be from Surah Al-Ikhlas, chapter number 112 in the Quran, and it's going to be done by Shaykh Muhammad Saleh ibn Uthaymeen. So, after the Shaykh begins by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, then the noble Shaykh says,
يقول الله تبارك وتعالى للنبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم قل هو الله أحد. وهذا الخطاب للرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام وللأمة أيضا.
So this verse begins with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, قل, say, meaning say, O Muhammad, Allah is Ahad, Allah is one. So in this verse, Allah is addressing the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and he is also addressing the entire Muslim Ummah.
وهو الله أحد هو ضمير ضمير الشان عند المعربين ولفظ الجلالة الله هو خبر مبتدا وأحد خبر ثاني والله الصمد جملة مستقلة.
So before the Shaykh begins to explain this chapter, he is going to give us some benefits of grammar that we find in this chapter. He begins with the verse هو الله أحد, he is Allah the One. The phrase هو translated as he is a ضمير شأن. This type of pronoun is used when you want for the listener to perceive great significance or importance. So you bring this pronoun in the beginning of the sentence and it's the subject of the sentence. And what comes after this subject will be the predicate and it shall give information about the subject. So Allah's name is the predicate in this sentence and Ahad or the One is the second predicate in this sentence. And the phrase Allahu Samad is an independent sentence by itself, meaning it does not need anything to come before it or after it.
ذكروا في سبب نزول هذه السورة أن المشركين أو اليهود قالوا للنبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم صف لنا ربك افتح الباب صف لنا ربك من أي شيء هو فأنزل الله هذه السورة قل هو الله أحد.
It was mentioned that the reason this chapter was revealed is that the pagans or the Jews asked the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, describe to us your Lord. From what did he come from? Therefore Allah sent down this chapter. Say, he is Allah, the One.
أي هو الله الذي تتحدثون عنه وتسألون عنه أحد أي متوحد بجلاله وعظمته ليس له مثيل وليس له شريك بل هو متفرد بالجلال والعظمة عز وجل.
Meaning he is Allah, the one that you are speaking about, the one that you are asking about, he is one. Meaning he is one in his majesty and in his greatness, and there is nothing which is comparable to him. He has no example and he has no partner. Rather, he is unique in his majesty and he is unique in his greatness. Azza wa Jal.
Allahu Samad jumla mustaqilla. Bayyana Allah ta'ala annahu Samad. فما معنى الصمد؟ أجمع ما قيل في معناه أنه الكامل في صفاته الذي افتقرت إليه جميع مخلوقاته.
الله الصمد. Allah is الصمد. And once again, this is an independent sentence. So here Allah Ta'ala makes clear that he is الصمد, And what is the meaning of this word as-samad? What is most complete from the meanings that have been given is that Allah is complete in all of His attributes, and that He is the one who all of His creation are in need of Him. They are poor and they are in need of Him.
فقد روي عن ابن عباس أن الصمد هو الكامل في علمه الكامل في حلمه الكامل في عزته الكامل في قدرته إلى آخر ما ذكر في الأثر.
And it has been narrated by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, that as-samad means that he is complete in his knowledge, and he is complete in his being forbearing, and he is complete in his might, and he is complete in his power, and he is complete in everything else that has been mentioned in this narration.
وهذا يعني أنه مستغن عن جميع المخلوقات لأنه كامل.
And this means that he is independent and he is free from needing or having any want from anything in the creation because he is complete.
وورد أيضا في تفسيرها أن الصمد هو الذي تصمد إليه الخلائق في حوائجها.
And it has also been mentioned in the explanation that as-samad, he is the one that the creation turn to for their needs and desires.
وهذا يعني أن جميع المخلوقات مفتقرة إليه.
And this means that all of the creation are in dire need of him.
وعلى هذا فيكون المعنى الجامع للصمد هو الكامل في صفاته الذي افتقرت إليه جميع مخلوقاته.
And with this, we see that the comprehensive meaning of as-samad is that he is complete in all of his attributes, and he is the one that all of the creation need and turn to for their needs and desires.
لم يلد ولم يولد. لم يلد لأنه جل وعلا لا مثيل له. والولد مشتق من والده وجزء منه كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم في فاطمة إنها بضعة مني والله جل وعلا لا مثيل له.
Then Allah says لم يلد, he begets not, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has no likeness, and the child is a derivative or a byproduct of the parent, and they are a part of the parent. As the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said about his daughter Fatima, verily she is a piece of me. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he has no likeness.
ثم إن الولد إنما يكون للحاجة إليه إما في المعونة على مكابتة الدنيا وإما في الحاجة إلى بقاء النسل والله عز وجل مستغن عن ذلك.
And having a child is for the one who needs to have a child. Either he needs the child to help him in some of his worldly hardships, or either he needs to have a child in order to carry on his namesake or his lineage. And Allah is free from having any of these wants and needs.
فلهذا لم يلد لأنه لا مثيل له ولأنه مستغن عن كل أحد عز وجل.
So for this reason, Allah did not beget because he has no example, no likeness, and he is free from needing anyone from his creation.
وقد أشار الله عز وجل إلى امتناع ولادته أيضا في قوله تعالى أن يكون له ولد ولم تكن له صاحبة وخلق كل شيء وهو بكل شيء عليم. فالولد يحتاج إلى صاحبة تلده، وكذلك هو خالق كل شيء، فإذا كان خالق كل شيء فكل شيء منفصل عنه دائم منه.
And Allah refers to the impossibility of him having children, as comes in chapter number 6, verse 101, what can be translated as, how can he have children when he has no wife, and he created all things, and he is the all-knower of everything. So a child needs a female companion to give birth to the child. And also, because Allah is the creator of everything, then this means that everything that he created is separate from him, and he is independent and separate from everything that he has created.
ولم يولد لأنه عز وجل هو الأول الذي ليس قبله شيء، فكيف يكون موجودا؟ وفي هذه الجملة الأخيرة رد على ثلاث طوائف منحرفة من بني آدم، وهم المشركون واليهود والنصارى.
And the next verse, وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, and he was not begotten, and this is because Allah is the first. There was nothing before him, so how could he have been born? And in the verse prior to that, he does not begat, in this verse is a refutation against three different groups that have deviated from the children of Adam. They are the pagans, the Jews, and the Christians.
لأن المشركين جعلوا الملائكة الذين هم عباد الرحمن إناثا، وقالوا إنها إن الملائكة بنات الله.
And this is because the pagans, they consider the angels, and the angels, in reality, they are the slaves of Allah. But the pagans, they consider the angels to be females, and therefore they consider them to be the daughters of Allah.
واليهود قالوا عزير ابن الله، والنصارى قالوا المسيح ابن الله، فكذبهم الله بقوله لم يلد ولم يولد، أي لم نعم، فقول لم يلد فيها رد على ثلاث طوائف، وأنا جعلتها الأخيرة ولكن الصواب هو الأول. لم يلد رد على ثلاث طوائف من بني آدم كلها ضالة، المشركون واليهود والنصارى، لأن المشركين يقولون إن الملائكة بنات الله، والنصارى يقولون إن المسيح ابن الله، واليهود يقولون عزير ابن الله. ولم يولد لأنه الأول الذي ليس قبله شيء.
And the Jews say that Uzair is the son of Allah, and the Christians say that the Messiah Jesus is the son of Allah. So Allah refuted all three of these groups by saying he does not beget. Refuting the pagans who say that the angels are the daughters of Allah, refuting the Jews who say that Uzair is the son of Allah, and refuting the Christians who say that Jesus the Messiah is the son of Allah, and then saying, and he was not begotten, because he is the first and there is nothing before him, so how could he have been born?
ولم يكن له كفوا احد، اي لم يكن له احد مساويا في جميع صفاته، فنفى الله عنه سبحانه وتعالى، نفى عن نفسه ان يكون والدا او مولودا او له مثيل. هذه السوره لها فضل عظيم، قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إنها تعدل ثلث القرآن.
And in the last verse, Allah says, what can be translated as, and there is none co-equal or comparable to him, meaning that there is no one who is an equivalent to him or is equal to him in any of his attributes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has negated for himself that he should be a parent, and he has negated for himself that he should be born, and he has negated that he should have any likeness or anyone equal to him. And this chapter has a great virtue, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, Verily, this chapter is equal to 1/3 of the Quran.
لكنها تعدله ولا تقوم مقامه. تعدل ثلث القرآن لكن لا تقوم مقام ثلث القرآن.
But it's equal to 1/3 of the Quran, but it does not take the place. It's equal to 1/3 of the Quran, but it does not take the place of 1/3 of the Quran.
بدليل أن الإنسان لو كررها في الصلاة الفريضة 3 مرات لم تكفي عن الفاتحة، مع أنه إذا قرأ 3 مرات فكأنما قرأ القرآن كله، لكنها لا تجزي عنه.
And the proof of this is, if a person was to read Surah Al-Ikhlas 3 times in the obligatory Salat, it would not compensate him for reading the Al-Fatiha. Although reading this surah 3 times would be as though he read the entire Quran 3 times, but it would not compensate him from reading the opening of the Quran.
ولا تستغرب أن يكون الشيء معادلا للشيء ولا يجزي عنه. فها هو النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أخبر أن من قال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، فكأنما أعتق 4 أنفس من بني إسماعيل أو من ولد إسماعيل. ومع ذلك لو كان عليه رقبة كفارة وقال هذا الذكر لم يكفي عن الكفارة. فلا يلزم من معادلة الشيء للشيء أن يكون قائما مقامه في الإجزاء.
And don't be surprised that something could be equal to another thing but still not take its place or compensate for that thing. As we have the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, whoever says that there is nothing worthy of worship but Allah alone, without partners, for him is the dominion and for him is the praise, and he has power over all things, then it is as though he has freed 4 people or 4 children from the children of Ismail. But despite this, if he has done something that requires him to free a slave, and he were to say this dhikr, this remembrance, then this would not compensate him from freeing these slaves. So it's not incumbent that if something is equal to another thing, that is going to take its place in terms of compensating for that thing.
هذه الصورة كان الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقرأ بها في الركعة الثانية في سنة الفجر وفي سنة المغرب وفي ركعة الطواف، وكذلك يقرأ بها في الثالثة في الوتر، لأنها مبنية على الإخلاص، الإخلاص التام لله، ولهذا تسمى سورة الإخلاص.
This surah or this chapter, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he used to read it during the 2 raka'ah before the Fajr prayer, and for the 2 raka'ah for Maghrib prayer, and during the raka'ah for making tawaf or making the circle around the Kaaba, and also he used to read it in the Witr prayer, because this chapter is built upon ikhlas or sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for this reason this chapter was called the chapter of ikhlas or the chapter of sincerity.